We are holding in Psachim, page Gimel, the paragraph Sham Hahu Dehavaka middle of Oisvah. We've been talking about the idea of Lashon Nekiyah, and in that connection, related to that, there were a couple of stories where, in particular, the one with the Goy and the Korban Pesach, where we discovered what a person was based on what he said. So now the Gemara finishes off this sugya with a couple of other stories in a similar vein, where a person used some kind of unusual expression, and from that they deduced something about it. So the Gemara says, "Ahu dehava ka'ama dunu dini." There was a person who would always say, anytime he's doing business or having any kind of argument with somebody, he would immediately say, "Let's go to Beis Din." No compromises, no nothing. The only thing is you have to go to Beis Din. Amri, so the Chachamim of that time said, Shmamina midan ka'asim. We see from that this person must be descended from Shevet Dan. Dechtiv, Dan yodin ame ka'achad shivtei Yisrael. As the pasuk says, Dan will judge his people like one of the Shvatim of the Jewish people. Rashi says on the pasuk over there that it refers to Shimshon, who judged, meaning fought on behalf of the Jewish people as one of the Shoftim, like one of the greater Shvatim, for example, Yehuda. But in the simple sense, it means that Dan has an affinity towards judgment in Beis Din. In fact, Maharsha says it really connects together that Dun himself and people from that shevet are of the type they're always ready to take revenge, and things have to be exactly according to the din, which is what Shimshon did to the Plishtim. So they realize he must be from Shevet Dun. Another example, Ahu Dahava Ka'azov Amar, there was a person was walking along and saying, Akef Yama Asisni Beirasa. Akef Yama means by the seashore. Now, Asisni Beirasa, Rashi gives two explanations. One is that Asisni means I would build, I would Meloshin Yisoid, I would build, Beirasa would be Meloshin Bira, which means a palace. So this guy used to say, if I had the opportunity to build a palace, I would build it by the seashore. Then Rashi gives a second explanation. So he was always praising the seashore. It was his favorite place. Then Rashi brings from a tshuva of the Gaonim that the word asisni is related to the word sneh, and the word birosa is related, is the Aramaic equivalent of brosh in Hebrew, which is a cypress or or juniper or some chosh of a tree like that. So he would say that the little bushes, the little sneh, the little thorn bushes that you find near the sea are as valuable and as important as the broshim, as the cypresses or whatever that you would find someplace else. So again, like he's always speaking in praise of the seashore and anything near it. So they checked into his yichus and discovered that he was from Shevet Zvulun. As the pasuk says, Zvulun is going to live by the seashore. So therefore, again, the idea is he has a certain affinity for the sea, and this guy showed it with the way he talked also. An interesting point, though, that now you have Gersois that actually have the words bodgu va'ashkechu by both of them. Our Gemara just has it by the second one, but there are kisveyad that have bodgu va'ashkechu by both of them. So Maharam Chalava, one of the Rishonim who has a pirush on Masechta Pesachim, he explains the vote is with both of these. The Chachamim had to, why do we say they had to check into it, implying almost like there was some kind of concern, is because he says both of these could have potentially meant that they have an affinity towards Avodah Zarah. Dunu Dini, you have the Gemara mentions elsewhere there's an Avodah Zarah named Dun. And the Gemara mentioned we learn in Masechta Shabbos, you have an expression that when a person says a very similar expression, Dunu Dani, be strong, my barrels, it's like a spell to make his barrels of wine be stronger. Either it's Darkei HaModi, either it's a superstitious thing like the way the Goyim do, or you have Rabbi Yehuda says over there, it's an outright invocation to Avodah Zarah, to the Avodah Zarah named Don. So they had to check in, and then they found that no, it's none of the above, just that he's from Shevet Don. Same thing with the second one, is he maybe worshipping the sea or something like that? And they found that no, he's from Shevet Zvulun. The way we have the Girsa, where it's only by the second one they checked it. So Ben Yehoyada brings a couple of possibilities. One of them is The first one was always saying this. As Rashi says, anytime he was doing business or having a debate with somebody, he'd say Dunu Dini. So they don't really have to check into it because it was obvious that this is the kind of person he is. Whereas the second one, it wasn't necessarily an ongoing thing that he's saying this. One time he was saying this expression. So does it mean anything about him? So Bodku, they checked into it and found, sure enough, it means he's from Shevet Zvolun. Okay. So the Gemara continues a little further. So now, like this, we started the Masechta with, we seem to have a machloikas what the words Urla Ba also mean. We had Rav Huna saying that it means Naghi, which we assume meant the daytime, and Rav Yehuda saying Leili, that it means the nighttime. In the end, we said both Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda agree that it means the nighttime, and we said that we're using the word Ur, or we're using the word Naghi, because in order to use Lashon Nakiya, in order to use a more refined way of speech, which brought us into this whole discussion. So the Gemara says, "Vahashti dekayim alon l'kula alma ur tahu." Well, now that we've established, everybody agrees that ur of our Mishnah means urta, the nighttime. Mechti. So let's consider. Bein l'Rabbi Yehuda or bein l'Rabbi Meir, chometz ena also elam sheish toros l'mayla. Given that, according to now further on in the perek, there's a Mishnah where it talks about at what point is chometz also. So both of them agree that chometz becomes also to eat only from the sixth hour of the day onward. Further on, the Gemara talks about midaraisa, it would actually be only from the beginning of the seventh hour onward, namely from chatzos and on. Later on daf hey, the Gemara deals with how we learn that. But midirabbanan, we move up the time 1 hour because the Gemara says you might get confused on a cloudy day. You might not know exactly what time it is. Anyway, though, the point is that. And then you have, in addition, Rabbi Yehuda says you stop eating chametz an extra hour earlier before that. So Rabbi Yehuda says, and this is the halacha, this is how we do nowadays, that you have sof zman achilas chametz 4 hours into the day, and sof zman bir chametz 5 hours into the day. And then that way, so you have two hours cushion that you're not eating it before it becomes also daraisa, and 1 hour cushion when 1 hour cushion to burn it. But both of them agree that midrabanan it's only also to eat from the beginning of the sixth hour and onward. Well then, why are we doing bedikas chametz the night before the nivdek mitzaf? The nivdek b'shis. Why don't we do the bedikah 6 hours into the day? In other words, do it right before it's going to become also. Now, fine, it doesn't mean necessarily we're literally going to start at the beginning of the sixth hour. What if you have a big house? But the point is, in other words, the Chachamim should have made it. You do it in such a way that you'll finish it by that time. You're going to say, well, the careful ones are always early to do mitzvahs, so therefore we want to do it earlier. Well, still, nivdek mitzafra. Still, it should be enough to check. To do bedikas chametz in the morning. So fine, you start first thing in the morning at Alois HaShachar or at Netzachama, and that gives you plenty of time to finish before it becomes also to eat. Dichtiv, as after all, you have the pasuk Vayom Hashmini Yimo Basaro Losa, that on the eighth day Bris Mila takes place. Vitanya, and we learn in a Braisa, Kol Hayom Kule Kosher L'Mila. Really, the entire day is kosher to do Bris Mila, Eshel Ela, she's risen back dimin la mitzvahs, but the careful ones are early to do mitzvahs. Shenem of Ayashkim Avraham Baboker, as we find that Avraham by the Akedah got up early and went to the Akedah. Tosfos discusses that actually it may not be a proof from there because we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, La'olam Yukonis Adam Bekitov, V'yetze Bekitov, and Avraham also, you're not supposed to go out by night, and Avraham wouldn't have therefore left by night either. Necessarily, the earliest he could leave was Alois HaShachar. However, Tosfos says that the fact is, maybe not, because that, first of all, Shluchim Mitzvah in a Nizokin, a point that we're going to learn soon, and also anyway, he had Shnei Na'orav Imai. Anyway, though, Tosfos says that maybe the Vayashkim Avraham Baboker, the Gemara is referring to over here, is not the one for the Akedah, but rather the one when he got up to early in the morning to daven for Sedoi. So Hashem had told him he's going to destroy Sodom. Avraham has the whole argument with Hashem, 50, 40, 30, etc. Tzaddikim. The next day, the next morning, Hashem destroys Sodom. And that morning, Avraham gets up to daven and finds that it's too late. They've already been destroyed. So that, Vayashkim Avraham Baboker, Tosfos says, the fact is there he's Yechidi, because he doesn't want anybody else to be watching the destruction of Sodom. And it's not a mitzvah. So therefore, there's a stronger proof from there, maybe, that that a Talmud Chacham shouldn't go out alone at night. Whereas here, maybe we're learning from Vayashlem Avraham Baboker by the Akedah, where even though those considerations don't apply, and conceivably he could have left by night, nevertheless he only left first thing in the morning. Anyway, the point is, so for Zrizim Makdimin LeMitzvahs, all you need is to do first thing in the morning. So why are we doing it the night before? The answer is Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, b'shah shemenei adam metzuyin b'vateihem, because the nighttime is when people are in their houses because they've gotten home from work. And also candlelight is good for checking. Meaning during the daytime, your candlelight is not going to be as effective because as the Gemara points out later on, you have the expression shraga b'tiyara mayahani, what good is a candle going to do in the middle of the day? So the nighttime is the more ideal time for it. And Rashi points out further on, the Gemara explains that you have to check by candlelight. So that's why you can't just say we'll do it by daylight. So why do you need two reasons? Why isn't it just enough to say Mitzurian Bavatehem or Aner Yafal Abdika? Why does Rav Nachman Yitzchok have to supply two reasons? So the Taz on these halachas in Shulchan Aruch explains like this. You want to have a time which is distinctive. You want to have a time, you don't just want to make some time when you might easily forget it. You know, people don't necessarily have alarm clocks or whatever. So therefore, you want a time that's distinctive. So it's one thing. So first, the Gemara thought, you check towards the end, before the sixth hour begins, when chametz is about to be usher, you know that's a defined time. I can't eat chametz or I can't have chametz in my possession anymore. So therefore, that'll remind you to do the bedikah. But we're saying that no, that doesn't work. So then we're saying that. And what about zuzin makdim and lemitzvahs? So we're saying fine, do it first thing in the morning. There also you have. There's a shinui. It's a distinctive time of day that you're getting up early in order to do the mitzvahs. Now, since we're saying that doesn't work, so therefore what we're saying is you need to have a time within the night that's distinctive. So what happens, in other words, the Taz says, a person comes home from work before it's dark. Now, though, he has to wait. He can't do B'dikas Chametz right away because the candlelight won't be as strong yet. So therefore, he's going to have to wait a while until there's that shinui, until there's that distinctive time when candlelight is going to be effective. And then at that point, so meanwhile, in between, he's not doing anything. So the Taz says that's why you need both those reasons. The Eitz Yosef brings from the Tzlach that explains a different point. The vote is when we say, after all, if it was just a matter of bnei adam mitzurin b'vateihem, that people are home, then it would work if you do it right before alos hashachar. But you need also ora ner yafel abdika. Doesn't just mean that the candlelight is more effective; it shines more brightly compared to the darkness. It's also that b'chalal you have a candle available at the beginning of the night. You have a candle because you're going to be eating dinner by it. Later on in the night, you may not have a candle around anymore. So therefore, that's why you need. So it's not really two reasons that Slach explains, it's really one thing. And that they have candle available, which they can then also repurpose for B'dikas Chametz. So the Gemara continues. Now, since because of that, we're saying that B'dikas Chametz should be shortly after a person gets home, early in the evening. A young Talmud Chacham, or any Talmud Chacham for that matter, should not start a fixed time for learning Torah. He has a regular schedule to learn Torah by night, but he should not do it. He should not start learning on the evening of the 13th, as it's going into the 14th, the time of Bedikas Chametz, or the time shortly before Bedikas Chametz, because he may get very involved with his learning, and then he'll end up not doing the mitzvah. So on that night, he should rearrange his schedule to not have that. It's a machlokas also in Shulchan Aruch. What happens if he? So we're saying at the time of B'dikas Chametz, he shouldn't. What if he started sometime earlier? Does he have to interrupt for B'dikas Chametz? On that, you have a machlokas. Okay. Further on Daf Hey, the Gemara deals with the question, how do we know that Midaraisa Chometz is also from Chatzois of Erev Pesach and onward? The nighttime, obviously, because it's already Pesach, but the Gemara discusses how we learn from Psukim that it's also for half a day before that. One thing the Gemara mentions in that connection is you have the word ach b'yom harishon tashbisu se'arim v'teichem, and the Gemara explains the word rishon does not necessarily mean the first day of Pesach, rather it can mean the day preceding Pesach. And the Gemara gives an example from Sefer Iyov where we see that the word rishon means preceding. Harishon adam tivoled is the expression in the pasuk where one of Iyov's friends says to him, were you born before Adam that you think you know how everything should run? So then the Gemara goes on to say, now, on the other hand, we have other psukim that mention Rishon, where the fact is, there it definitely means the first. When it says, for example, by Lulav, Lakachta Machem by Yom Rishon, it certainly doesn't mean that you take Lulav beginning on Erev Sukkos. So the Gemara ends up explaining, here's the piece over here, that it depends. The Rishon by Chometz is indeed meant to refer to the day before, but the other one, there are three other ones that are meant, the word Rishon by them is given for a different purpose. In the reward for three mitzvahs that the Jewish people do that are referred to by the word Rishon, and they are, Rashi says, resting from Malacha on Pesach, resting from Malacha on Sukkos, whereby both of them the Torah says that it begins on Yom HaRishon, and the third one is Netilas Lulav. So in the schus of those three mitzvahs, zochu, the shloisha rishon, the Jewish people are zoche to three things that are also called rishon. And the three things that are called rishon are lahachris zare shel Amalek, number one, to cut off and destroy the descendants of Amalek, and Amalek is called rishon, as the Gemara is going to bring for each one of these, where we see in Psukim that it's called Rishon, or the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and to build the Beis HaMikdash, well, the Shmoy Shal Mashiach, and to the name of Mashiach, meaning the essence of what Mashiach is all about. We find that Esav, the ancestor of Amalek, is called the first one. The first one came out of Rivka's womb, very red looking. So one of these rishons of the mitzvah will be the source to destroy him. Or the binyan beis hamikdash tichtiv, as the pasuk says, kisei kavod, Hashem's glorious throne, moroi merishon, that's exalted from rishon, from the beginning, mekoy mikdashenu, the place of our beis hamikdash. So we see therefore that the beis hamikdash, which is so to speak Hashem's throne on earth, is called rishon. Or the shmoi shemashiach tichtiv, as the pasuk says, rishon l'tzion, hine hinam, the first one, the leader of tzion, behold, here he is, which is referring to Mashiach. What's the connection between these three rishons and the three rishons of the mitzvahs? So Marsha explains like this. Why are we resting on Pesach? Because we were taken out of Golos Mitzrayim, and Hashem punished the Mitzrayim with all kinds of ways. In the same way, Esav, and specifically Amalek, who persecuted and harassed us during this last Golos, they're also going to get their punishment in the schus of that we keep the Yom Tov of Pesach. In fact, there's a direct connection. B'nisan nigalu, b'nisan asidin ligal. In fact, he says that's the reason why Pesach is also associated with getting rid of Chometz, because Chometz represents the Yetzer Hara, and the Yetzer Hara, the Samach Mem, is the Malach, is the power of Esav. Then we have the second mitzvah to rest on Chag HaSukkos. That is that Hashem protected us with Sukkas Shloimo, with the Anani HaKavod. So then, in the schus of that, we're going to have the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, which is also compared to a Sukkah by Hiva Shalom Sukkah. And then the third one is Mitzvahs Lulav, where Mitzvahs Lulav is associated with the Simcha, with Smachtem, Lefnei Hashem Alekechem, Shivas Yomim, and for that we have the Simcha of Mashiach. And specifically, Shmoisha Mashiach, where Mashiach's name, we know, the Gemara in Sanhedrin mentions a number of different names of Mashiach, and one of them is Menachem Shmoi, Meloshin Nechama, so he will be the one who will be Menachem and be Mesameach. So therefore those are the Rishon. So therefore each of those mitzvahs that's associated with the Rishon has to do then with one of these three things that we're zoicha to. The Rif talks about another point. I know he gives Barichos another point as well, that Yitzias Mitzrayim is associated with Yitzias Mitzrayim and Amalek are both associated with Zohar es Hayom Hazeh, and Zohar es Asher Asah Lecha Amalek. Sukkos corresponds to the Beis Mikdash because the Chanukah Sabayis of the first Beis Mikdash took place Sukkos time. And the Lulav corresponds to Mashiach because Lulav is Loi Lev, that he'll restore Veheshev Lev Avis Albanim, and he'll restore our hearts towards Avinu Ubinu Mashmashamayim. And then he gives other points as well. So in Chassidus, in a number of places, it talks about that Rishon has to do with Keser. And so there's a few places in Maimorim where it talks about that these B'shchar Shloisha Rishon, Zochel the Shloisha Rishon, all has to do with things that are associated with Keser. So in the case of Amalek, it would be Keser of Klippa or whatever that amounts to. And by the other ones, it would be Keser of Kedusha. There's an explanation from Rabbi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, where he goes into a great arichos explaining this in further detail. And he explains Keser itself has three different levels in it. He says, you know, Keser represents in the body, it represents what's above the brain. The brain itself is Chochma bin Adas, and Keser is the skull, which is higher than that. And you have the skull, and you have the membrane under the skull, and you have a space between them. So that corresponds to the three things that we're talking about over here. And he explains Barichos how they correspond to these, to each, to one each of these three mitzvahs and the three things that we're saying over here. Okay. Further on, the Gemara talks about how we know, so the Mishnah had said, la'oran ner v'chola, that you have to do b'dikas chametz by candlelight. So the Gemara says, menohani mili, where do we know that it dafka has to be by candlelight? So Omer of Chista, it's a multiple step zera shava. Lamadnu mitzia mimitzia, we're going to derive one thing where it says mitzia, finding. We're going to derive from another case where it talks about finding something. Umetzia mechipos, and in turn that is associated in the pasuk with searching. Vechipos mechipos, in turn that searching we're going to associate with another searching. Vechipos mineiris, that second searching is mentioned in the pasuk in connection with candles. Veneiris miner, and then we're going to learn neiris from another pasuk that refers to ner. Now that last one, the Gemara is going to ask why we need. Once we've reached neiris already, then we should stop there. Why do we need neiris miner? The Gemara will get to that soon. Anyway, it goes like this. Mitzia mimitzia. We start by learning one case of mitzia from another. Sibach ha-shivas yam sa'ur lo yimotzi b'vateichem. Sa'ur shed, sa'ur, sourdough, chometz, whatever, should not be found in your houses. Ochtivasem, you have the pasuk by Yosef and his brothers when Yosef planted his gavia in Binyamin's sack. By Chapis, so he, Menashe, searched over there, by Godol Heichel of a cotton killer, he began with the eldest, with Reuven, and he finished with the youngest, Binyamin, by Imotze, and he found the goblet in Binyamin's sack. There is actually, by the way, an interesting thing that's brought, I think it's brought in Chanukah Tatar, I don't remember, that brings a Medrash Pliya that says that actually the Godol and the cotton over here, respectively, are not Reuven and Binyamin, but rather Shimon and Binyamin. And that the vote is, he checked only those two sacks. In which case, the question would be why? Mele, if he checked all 11 of them, it makes sense. He's going through one by one, pretending like he doesn't know, and he finds it in Binyamin. But why Davka? What would be his excuse to search only Shimon's and Binyamin's? So there's a vote on this. Again, I think it's in Chanukah Satorah. He says like this. The brothers argued when Menashe confronts them and he says, "How could you? How Aloma Shilamtem Ra Tachas Tova? Yosef has been doing Tofnas Paneach, whatever, has been doing so much good to you. How could you repay good with evil?" So they answered a Kabochomer, one of the famous 10 Kabochomers in the Torah. Madoch, we returned the money that was in our sacks all the way from Eretz Canaan. For sure, we're not going to steal gold or silver from you. So the vote would be then that Menashe says to them, you know, you have a valid point. However, that point can apply only to the ones who actually went back and forth to Eretz Canaan and had the money in their sacks and then discovered it and then brought it all the way back. But Shimon didn't because he was detained behind by Yosef. And Binyamin didn't because he didn't come down the first time. He only came the second time. So therefore, so your Kabochomer may work for 9 of you, but it doesn't work for Shimon and Binyamin. And therefore, those are the sacks that I have to search. Anyway, the point is that you have over there the word mitzia and you have the word chipos. He searched in the sacks and he found the gavia. Next, umetzia mechipos didei. So then that's where you have the mitzia and the chipos right there, where you have mitzia in connection with chipos. Then the chipos mineiris. Now in turn, then we learn that the searching should be done with candles. Dichtiv, as you have a pasuk where the Navi says, bo'es hahi achapes Yerushalayim baneiris. At that time, I will search through Yerushalayim with candles. The context is the Navi is saying that the Jewish people have not been behaving the way they're supposed to, and therefore Hashem is saying, I'm going to search through Yerushalayim and find who's guilty and who's not, and then everybody's going to get what's coming to them. So therefore, we see that Chippos is associated with Neiris. with candles, and the neiris mi neir, and then in turn we have an association between neiris and one individual candle. Dichtiv neir Hashem nish neir Hashem nishmas adam. The candle of Hashem is the neshama of a person. Choifes kochadre vaten, where he searches through all the chambers of the stomach, meaning all of a person's internal organs and all of a person's internal thoughts. Hashem searches through them, so to speak, using the neshama. Now, so the Gemara is going to explain soon why in that case, why do we need the Pasuk Achapes Yerushalayim HaNeiris, if we could go directly to Choifes Kochadre Vaten, where you have Ner and Chippos together. But anyway, the point is that by putting all this together, you have, so the Gemara is going to ask why you need all these Pesukim, but Tosfos points out also that the Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam Choifes Kochadre Vaten, the Choifes Kochadre Vaten is not necessarily referring back to the Ner. The Pasuk is actually maybe telling us two different things. Number one, you should know that the neshama of a person is Hashem's candle. Number two, separately, you should know Hashem searches through all of a person's innards. So therefore, we need more clearly the Pasuk Achapes Yerushalayim HaNeiris, which shows more clearly that Hashem is searching with candles, then we need Neiris Miner. Similarly continues the Gemara. Marshall also points out, by the way, that you have a different pasuk that also mentions searching and finding. Namely, you have by Lavan when his tefachim are stolen and he's checking to see who has them. So by Chapes, he searched through Rochel's and everybody else's tents. V'loy matzah tefachim, and he didn't find them. So why don't we learn from that? Marsha says, because first of all, you want Yimotze to learn from Yimotze, Vayimotze Hagavia versus Sirla Yimotze Bivatechem. As opposed to Motza, it's true. Sometimes the Gemara will do that when there's no better word available for Xera Shavan. The Gemara will use a different form like that, but still, we'd rather use a similar form. And also, the fact is that you have to actually find it. You can't just search. You expect it to find anything that's there. So therefore, we want to learn from a pasuk that mentions actually finding something. So Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel. So we learn in a brisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. Similarly, Leili Yudalid Boitkenas a Chametz La'Oran there. On the night going into the 14th of Nisan, you search for Chametz by the light of a candle. Va'afapishen Raya L'Dover Zeicha L'Dover. Even though there's no solid proof that you need to use a candle, there is a hint to it, a remembrance of it. Shenem Ashivas Yom Sarele Yimotze V'Teichem Va'Oimer Va'Ichapes Va'Godel Heichel Va'Katan Kila Va'Yimotze. So you're going through the same list of psukim that Rav Chista gave is also in a braisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. Now, though, Rabbi Shmuel phrases it differently. He says va'omer. He brings the first pasuk, then he says it also says the second pasuk. Now, Rav Chista, we have no question on. We're saying we're learning one from the other. In other words, we have a chain of gzeira shavas. Whether, by the way, that means that it's a true Gzeira Shava, which means that it's actually Daraisa, or whether it means that it's really only an Asmachta, that's a discussion among Mefoshim. Anyway, the point is, though, Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel is phrasing it differently. He's saying you could have learned all by itself from Shivas Yom Sola Yimotze V'Teichem. But in addition, you have another pasuk that says Vayichapes Vagodol Heichel, etc. So therefore, my Va'omer, then why are we saying, and also it says, as though you're saying, the first one is not a solid enough proof, and therefore you need the second. So like this, V'chitema Hai, so specifically, actually, the Gemara is focusing really on the last Va'omer, where we have Ba'isi Achapes Eshalayim HaNeris, Va'omer Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam Choifes. So fine, the other ones we understand. You need all of them because without it, you don't have anything about candles. But once you've gotten to Achapes Eshalayim HaNeris, why do you also need Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam? So like this, V'chitema, because you might think to say, Hai Ba'isi Ahi Kulahu Dekal Merachmana. Maybe by saying Ba'isi Achapes Eshalayim HaNeris, the Hashem is saying that I'm going to go easy on them. The Ka'amar Rachmana that Hashem is saying, Loi Badikna Lo Yerushalayim Benahoda Da'avuka. I'm not going to search through Yerushalayim, so to speak, by the light of a torch, the Nafish Nahoda Tova, which gives us tremendous light. And therefore, in other words, I'll find even the tiniest flaw. El Benahoda the Shraga. I'm going to just use candlelight, the Zutta Nahoda Tvei, where it's only a small flame, representing then that would mean Da'avon Rabba Mishtakach, Va'avon Zutta Loi Mishtakach, that Hashem would be saying, I'm only going to look for and find the big Averis, not the small ones. Toshma, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. Therefore, instead, we bring the pasuk Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, which continues Choifes Kochad Rebaten, which makes it clear that Hashem is doing a very careful search. And even though the pasuk in Sfanya is using the expression Maneres, don't think it means that Hashem is going easy on them. It means Hashem is being very particular and looking for every detail. On the other hand, as Tosfos says, the fact is, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, Choifes Kochad Rebaten, could have also been understood as two separate statements, and not that the Ner is being used for Chippos, which is why we need the Pasuk from Sfanya, Achapas, Es Yerushalayim Maneris as well. Okay. So then the Gemara discusses the issue, why is it Davka for Bedikas Chametz, you should be using a candle? Why, Taka, shouldn't you be using a torch? Well, a candle with many wicks. And in fact, Amar Rava, so Rava says in this connection, my dichtiv v'noiga ka'otiya, what does it mean, a posik in Chavakuk, it's an after of the second day of Shavuos, v'noiga ka'otiya, there will be a glow like the light. Rashi explains the glow that Hashem will give the tzaddikim ma'asid lover will be like the light of like ka'or shiva seyamim, like the intense light that there was during the 7 days of Ma'aseh Bereishis. There will be rays of light from Hashem's hand to him, like the rays of light that Moshe Rabbeinu had. And there, Hashem's power is concealed. So what does that mean? What are the tzaddikim going to be like in the presence of Hashem? Like a candle in the presence of a torch, where the torch outshines the candle a great deal. So why don't we use a torch for Bedikas Chametz? And the Gemara gives a number of answers. Among them is that a torch tends to throw its light more back to you, and you want to be able to see further ahead in front of you, and a few other reasons. And one of them is because you'd be afraid to check with a torch b'chodim of a sedakim in the cracks and in the crevices, because you might set the house on fire. Whereas a candle, you're going to be less afraid of doing that. Marshall explains this kener b'fnei ha'avuka differently. That the noiga ka'otiya means the glow. So Rashi explained it means the glow that Hashem is going to give the tzaddikim. Marsha explains it means the glow of Hashem himself, la'asid lavay, will be ka'otiya. It will be like the light of a torch. And meanwhile, the tzaddikim will be like a candle relative to that intense light, like a torch of Hashem. Anyway, the point is that torch has a much more powerful light. Nevertheless, though, you don't use it for Bedikas Chametz. Iyun Yaakov points out that the relevance of this is also, we're saying, even though Hashem's light is like a torch compared to the weak candle light of the tzaddikim, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes exeter of a tzaddik mevatla, Hashem allows the tzaddik to, so to speak, override his decision. Okay. Further on, the Gemara talks about when it comes to Bedikas Chametz, the Gemara talks about certain dinim when you're not required to check a certain area for Chametz because there might be a danger involved. For example, you have one example the Gemara brings is a hole in the wall between you, if you have a Goyish and neighbor where you and he share a common wall. So the Gemara mentions over there an opinion of Plimoy who said that you're not obligated to check that for Chametz at all, because you start poking around there at night with candlelight, the guy is going to see from the other side and think that you're doing witchcraft on him or something. And the Gemara gives a couple of other examples of that kind of thing where you're not obligated to check for chametz. So the Gemara asks, why not? Amar Rav Elazar, shluchei mitzvah ein nizirkin loy b'halichasin v'loy b'chazirasin. Shluchei mitzvah are not harmed when they're going to do their mission of a mitzvah, and also not when they're returning. So the Gemara discusses Rabbi Lozer de Omer Kihai Tanim. The Gemara is discussing that not everybody agrees with that idea that Loi Bachazirosan. There might be that they're immune to being, everybody's going to agree that Shluchi Mitzvah in a Nizokin when they're going to do the mitzvah, but not necessarily when they're returning from it. But Rabbi Lozer says that it applies when they're returning as well, because he's saying like the following time. The Tanya, Isi ben Yehuda, now the Pasuk says, when you're going on Aliyah L'Regel, nobody will covet your land. So what does that mean? So in the simple sense, it means that nobody is going to try to take over your land while you're away. But Tosfos says, the Gemara is davshining from the word es, right, which means esa tofel. So therefore, it means not just your land, but also the other kinds, also the things that are on the land. Marsha explains differently. If you're talking about taking over the land, the word ish is kind of out of place. You don't have one person doesn't conquer and take over land. You need an army to do it. So the expression should be or something like that, or am, or something like that. A nation won't take over your land. So therefore, instead, it has to be referring to metalphalin, where it would be easy enough for one person to steal them. So from this, we learn that while you're away on Aliyah L'Regel, your cow will be grazing in the meadow, and not even wild animals will harm it. In other words, the ish over here doesn't just refer to people, it also refers to animals. Similarly, your chicken will be pecking around in the garbage, and a weasel, or a chulda, a ferret, or a weasel, or some other kind of rodent like that, won't harm it. So therefore, v'aloi dvarim kavachomer. So now you can make a kavachomer. Uma miu elu shadarkan lizard. Madach animals like that, which regularly get harmed, because after all, they don't have a mazel like people do. People have, the Gemara in a few places mentions, have a mazel, meaning a shodash of an ashamal amayla. Animals don't have that. So animals are much more likely to be harmed. Ein nizokin, and Hashem promises they won't be harmed while you're away. Miu bnei odim shein darkan lizard. So people who don't usually get harmed, alachas kama v'kama, how much more so that they're immune from being harmed, and aimli ela b'halicha. So then from the pasuk, you would only know when you're going on aliyah l'regel, b'chazora minayin, how do we know the same thing is going to be when you're returning? Tamad leimo, for nisa v'abreka, v'halachta lo'yalecha. Therefore, the pasuk says, you'll turn around in the morning, and you'll go back to your tent, meaning to your home after Aliyah L'Regel, Malama Chitelech, Vitimsa Alacha B'Shalem, teaching you that you're going to go home and find that your tent, that your household is at peace. So we see, therefore, so that Tana says that the Shluchei Mitzvah are not going to be harmed by Ali Chasen or by Chazirasen, and Rabbi Lazar is following that. So the Gemara asks, by the way, if you have a promise that even when you're returning from Aliyah L'Regel, you and your possessions are going to be safe, then why do you need to be told b'chlal about the case when you're going? Isn't that more obvious? Because then for sure, you're on your way to do the mitzvah. You're right. You're right. The part about going on Aliyah L'Regel is rather needed to teach us what Rab Ami says. Only a person who owns land is chayev on Aliyah L'Regel. Somebody who does not own land is not chayiv in Aliyah L'Regel. That's what we talked about yesterday, that Tosfos says one reason why Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira might have been potter from Aliyah L'Regel. The reason behind it, Marisha says, is because the main thing of Aliyah L'Regel is you're going to be happy over there with the mitzvahs that involve Bikurim, Maaser Sheni, and so forth. If you don't own any land, you're not going to be Mekayim that anyway, so therefore you're not really going up L'Shem Shamayim. You're going up Stam in order to tour your Shalayim or to benefit from the other things of your Shalayim, which is the next piece of Gemara. Worth mentioning in this connection, by the way, a couple of stories that the Medrash tells illustrating how this L'yach Medishas Arzachah came true in actual cases. One example it mentions over there in a Medrash is that there was a guy who left on Aliyah L'Regel and forgot to lock his door. He comes back and he finds a snake wrapped around the lock, so nobody was able to break in all that time. Then the Medrash tells another story of two Jewish brothers who lived in the city of Ashkelon. And Ashkelon in those times was a majority Goyish city. So they had Goyish neighbors. And these neighbors are always scheming and plotting among themselves that they want to we want to be able to destroy these guys' property and do whatever to them. But you know they're always afraid to start up with them. Then the brothers are going on Aliyah L'Regel. So now the Goyim figure, we have our opportunity. But they see the day after the brothers left, they see the brothers walking back into the house. Oh, I guess they must have changed their mind and not gone. And every day they see them walking in and out. So they never have a chance to go and try anything to start up with them. Event the brothers themselves were actually in Yerushalayim. Hashem had sent Malachim looking like them in order to throw off the goyim. Eventually, the story continues in the Medrash. The brothers, when they're getting ready to leave Yerushalayim, they think to themselves, we should pick up some souvenirs to bring to our neighbors. They mistama took good care of our property while we were away. To make a long story short, the goyim eventually put two and two together and realized that it was Malachim had been protecting them, and they're very embarrassed. Here, these guys are bringing them souvenirs. Thank you for taking care of our property. And really, they were planning to break in and destroy the whole thing, and they would have if the Eved Shteh hadn't sent them Malachim. But these are illustrations of the idea of how Taka Hashem did that in practice. Yom Yem Mashiach Ge'ula, Yud Gimel Elul. So the Friedrich Rebbe explains in a Maimer beginning, V'abdi David Melech Aleihem, why is Melech Mashiach called David? Is because David's central thing was Anova and Bittul. He was a king, but he calls himself Oni V'Ebi. The same thing Mashiach is going to have the ultimate greatness, but he's still going to have the ultimate degree of Anova and Bittul. And as it says in Ayom Yom, he's going to learn even with Anoshim Pshutim. So therefore, one of the things that will bring closer and faster B'yas HaMashiach is learning and spreading Torah, both Nigla and Pnimius, to everybody, even to Anoshim Pshutim, and doing it in a way of Anova and Bittul. Namely, in other words, you don't do it for the fact it is true that when you teach others, you gain from it, but you're not primarily doing it for that, but rather you're doing it primarily for the Mekablin, which actually ties in with something that we're going to learn in the Gemara tomorrow about when you do a mitzvah, that it should be L'shem Shemayim, rather than that you're doing it for other ulterior motives. Now that we learned the dinim of Mincha, so we'll continue with the dinim of Ma'ariv. The time of Krishma of Ma'ariv is once three small stars are visible in the sky. Nowadays you have on the calendars, they'll print the time for it. If it's a cloudy day, then you have to wait until Yetzah Sofik Milib. Nowadays, in many places, they daven Ma'ariv early because of Torah Hatzibur, because it would be hard to gather everybody together again. So fine, you're able to do that as long as not before Plaga Mincha. However, it's still better to daven Betzibur by night, and then between Mincha Ma'ariv, then you learn, then you join the day with the night by learning Torah like we're doing over here. Be that as it may, even if you daven Betzibur before night, you shouldn't eat within a half hour before Tzetzik Chavim. Wait till Tzetzik Chavim, say the three parashas of Kriyishma, and then you can go and eat. If you're not Mespal Betzibur, then you don't have that dispensation, then you cannot daven Ma'ariv before Tzetzik Chavim.